Our Protestant friends and neighbors often ask Catholics, why can't you simply go directly to God to confess your sins? Why do you go to a man? And do you believe that a man can forgive your sins? The answer, of course, is that we do go directly to God, and that God alone can forgive sins. But that according to the divine plan, these things we do through the instrument of grace, the minister of the sacrament of penance, a priest of the new covenant who stands in the apostolic succession. The truth of our faith in the nature and purpose of the sacrament of penance is revealed in the gospel this morning. The scene is the day of resurrection, Easter Sunday. It is the evening. On the evening of that first day of the week, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Where were they? In the upper room. Scripture does not specify this explicitly, but they were together in Jerusalem behind locked doors. The only place they knew, since they were not from there, was the room where he celebrated his Last Supper and changed the Passover meal into the Holy Eucharist of the New Covenant. He came and stood in their midst. And what did he say to them? Let's consider what he might have said. He might have said, on seeing them for the first time, "You cowards." Remember, only 3 days before, after being with him for 3 years, after living with him and traveling with him, after hearing every word he spoke in public and private, after witnessing his deeds of power and confessing their faith in him as the Son of God, the anointed King of Israel, after all of that, what did they do? Judas betrayed him for money. The inner circle of Peter, James, and John went to sleep. They all fled in fear. And Peter denied repeatedly, even knowing him. Treachery, sloth, cowardice, and mendacity. These are the four marks of the College of Apostles. And so he might justly have stood before them with scorn on his lips. "You cowards disgust me." And yet that's not what he said. "Peace be with you." His first words after the resurrection to the surviving 11 apostles, "Peace be with you." This is the peace of which he had spoken in his earthly ministry, a peace the world cannot give, a peace that surpasses understanding. This is the peace that is the tranquility of order, a rightly ordered mind and heart, rightly ordered relationships of each person with God, with all other persons, and with our own true selves. Peace be with you. But this is not simply an aspiration, a hope for some future gift. This is something in the moment he gives by grace through faith. And what did it cost him? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Even in the glory of the resurrection, he bears the wounds of his passion. These are the tokens of the authenticity of his words and the power contained in them. The one who is crucified, the one who suffered for us and at our hands, the one who begged the Father for mercy on us, even as he hung upon the cross, now stands before them, revealing his holy and glorified wounds. "Peace be with you," he said again. Now we come to a part that our Protestant brethren have a great deal of difficulty understanding and agreeing with. "As the Father has sent me, Remember who speaks. The only begotten, the eternal Word of the Father, the only Son, who in the fullness of time took flesh of the Virgin Mary and was made man. As the Father sent me, so I send you. He is here exercising his sovereign messianic authority to confer on the apostles a sacred power that in its origin and proper nature is divine. He is entrusting divine power to these 11 cowards, liars. He knows their sins. He knows their human frailty. And yet to them he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. As God breathed on the waters and brought forth life at the dawn of creation, he breathes on them and brings forth the life of grace in the new creation. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. This is the Easter gift of the Lord Jesus to his church. Recall that when he announced the forgiveness of sins, as to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, rise and walk. The scribes and Pharisees were scandalized. Who but God alone can forgive sin? Truly, God alone forgives sin. But the God-man, precisely because he is God from God and light from light, reveals his divine glory by the forgiveness of sin. And this sacred power he entrusts to his apostles. This is at the very heart of the whole sacramental economy of the Christian faith. Grace is mediated. It comes to us through instruments, like Jesus making a mud paste of dirt and spit to open the eyes of the blind man, or curing the woman with a hemorrhage by the touching of his garment. Grace comes through stuff, through water, oil, bread, wine, the touch of a human hand. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you are forgiven them. Last Sunday, the day of resurrection, we celebrated the sacrament of baptism. We renewed the promises of our baptism. Baptism is the beginning of the life of grace. It is through baptism, as through a door, that one enters the life of grace, with all our sins forgiven. But after baptism, when we return to our sins, the normal way for the grace of baptism to be restored and renewed in us is by going to confession. And in the sacrament of penance, through the apostolic ministry of bishops and priests, the forgiveness of sins in those who have been baptized is made new again. And that's why this second Sunday of Easter is known also as the Sunday of Divine Mercy. Yesterday in Rome, as evening fell, Pope Francis celebrated solemn vespers of Divine Mercy, in the context of which he promulgated the Bull of Indiction, the document that formally announces what had earlier been described to us as a Jubilee Year of Mercy. The title in Latin of that decree is Misericordiae Vultus, meaning the face of mercy. In that document, which I will commend to you through our e-bulletin, the Pope explains that at the very heart of this Year of Mercy, which begins in December with the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception and ends in the end of 2016 with the Solemnity of Christ the King, the very heart of this Jubilee Year of Mercy will be a renewed appreciation for the Sacrament of Penance, a deeper understanding of the Sacrament of Penance, and above all else, a more frequent reception of the Sacrament of Penance. It is an index of how highly the Lord Jesus prizes this gift to us, that it comes to us on the day of resurrection. In the first words, after he rises from the dead, he discloses that we are to be the recipients of the divine gift of peace through the forgiveness of our sins, exercised through the hands of the apostles and those who take their place. The first two full sentences of the Pope's document, The Face of Mercy, connect all of these pieces and help us understand why we should prize the sacrament of penance above all gifts after baptism. Pope Francis writes, "Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy." These words might well sum up the mystery of the Christian faith. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen. He is truly risen, and he gives us peace through the forgiveness of our sins and the sacrament of penance. Alleluia, alleluia.